नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 67 बलराम स्लेज द्विविध गुरला टेक्स्ट नंबर 4-11. Okay, so do you want us to do the Sanskrit for each verse, or yes, together? Okay. Kvachit sa shailan upatya tardesham samachurnayat anartan sutaram eva yatraste mitraha harihi. Translation. Once Dvidvid tore up a number of mountains and used them to devastate all the neighboring kingdoms, especially the province of Anarta, wherein dwelt his friend's killer, Lord Hari. Kvachit samudra madhyasto durbhyam utkshipya tajjalam deshanaga yutta prano pilakule yam yajatyat. Something like that. Another time he entered the ocean and with the strength of 10,000 elephants churned up its water with his arms and thus submerged the coastal regions. Text 6. Ashramansh rishir mukyanam kritva bhagna vanapastin adushitas chakrin mutrayer agnin vitangan makalaha. The wicked ape tore down the trees in the hermitage of exalted sages and contaminated their sacrificial fires with his feces and urine. Text number 7. Purushanyoshito dritya shabrat dodrona kushasuha shivitya chayla peshakariva khatikam. Just as a wasp imprisons smaller insects, he arrogantly threw both men and women into caves in a mountain valley and sealed the caves shut with boulders. Text 8. Evang deshan viprakurvan dushayanscha kulastriyaha shritva sulalitangitam hirang raivatakam yayau. Once, while Dvidvid was thus engaged in harassing the neighboring kingdoms and polluting women of respectable families, he heard very sweet singing coming from Revatak Mountain. So he went there. Text 9 and 10. Tatra pasyat yadupatin ramang pushkaramalinam durdarshaniya sarvanam lilana yutta madhyagam ayatam varyuni pitva madadivala lochanam vibrajamanam pasha pravinya iva varanam. There he saw Sri Balaram, the lord of the Yadus, adorned with a garland of lotuses and appearing most attractive in every limb. He was singing amidst a crowd of young women, and since he had drunk Varuni liquor, his eyes rolled as if he were intoxicated. His body shone brilliantly as he behaved like an elephant in rut. Text 11. Dushta shakam mriga shakam aruda kampayan druman chakri kila kila shabha atmanam sampradarshayam. And I guess Yes, we'll just go through the word by word here. Dushtaha, mischievous. Shakambrigaha, the ape, the animal who lives on branches. Shakam, a branch. Arudaha, having climbed. Kapiyan, shaking. Druman, trees. Chakre, he made. Kila kila shadam, shadam, the sound kila kila. Atmanam, himself. Sampradarshayan, showing. Translation. The mischievous ape climbed a tree branch and then revealed his presence by shaking the trees and making the sound kila kila. The mischievous ape climbed a tree branch and then revealed his presence by shaking the trees and making the sound kila kila. And we won't look at the purport. It's a short one. We'll charade it out. Okay? Hare Krishna. The words shakamriga indicates the ape, dridvid, like ordinary apes, was naturally inclined to climb trees. Srila Prabhupada writes, this gorilla by the name Drid could climb up on the trees and jump from one branch to another. Sometimes he would if you don't like someone, you say you J jerk, yes. He would jerk the branches, creating a particular type of sound. Kila kila. So that Lord Balaram was greatly distracted from the pleasing atmosphere. Jai Hare Krishna. End of purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Namo Murshtibadaya Krishna Mustaya Bhutane Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishi Shishanyavadi Paschajati Shatarini. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So here's a string of verses that give a little more of an outline as to the mischief making of the ape Dvidvid. There are different kinds of apes. There are gorillas, there are orangutans, there are chimpanzees, and there's a few more. But this ape, we can imagine, and then there's King Kong, of course. And then, so we're assuming this is a very big ape, and he's very much a duskritina. Namang duskritino mudha prabhajanti naradama. Maya aparitagyana asuram bhavam asrita. Duskritina, Prabhupada explains, one who is meritorious for mischief making. Now, he gets known, he becomes famous for doing nonsense, for being a nuisance. Oftentimes we see people who are very desperate for attention, and maybe in most cases have had a bad upbringing. They do desperate things to get attention, like kill people, blow up buildings, steal cars, and they usually succeed. They get a lot of attention. So they get what they want. And in this particular case, Dvidvid was sent, like most asuras, to the district of Vrindavan and Gokul. Usually they were dispatched by Kamsa, and their business was to create distractions and perhaps halt the glorious activities of Krishna Balaram. Jayadrita was one of them, and his good friend was killed at the hands of the Lord, and now he's out to seek vengeance. This is the nature of asuras, who generally do not surrender to the Lord. Again, duskritinas. They come in unique ways. Most of the demons we hear about have this tejas, this power, to be able to change their form at will, to take whatever form they like. They're on Halloween all the time, masquerading. Yet deep down inside, in the recesses of their heart, they're devotees, but they've taken these roles as mischief makers. Balaram was having a good time, and is indicated here that all of his limbs were beautifully decorated. There's descriptions of the different parts of his body. There are also different descriptions of the body parts of Dvid. No stone was left unturned when describing his body parts and what he was doing with them, and we won't get into the details here. But he is compared to a wasp. And a wasp isn't just a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. A wasp is actually a beneficial insect. That's my understanding. If anybody does some gardening, like probably a Kuti or a good gardener, I assume, and if there's little aphids and different little insects that will start to eat at the plants, you bring in some other entities that might be interested to have a Sunday feast. Yes. Jiva jivasha jivanam, the Bhagavatam states, one living entity is food for another. So it's been known that ladybugs are very good for this. They eat these little pests on the plants. It's also known there's a species of wasps that do the same thing. They do an even better job. They take some of the parts of the bug that they've eaten and carry some of that back to their nest. Or let's say they destroy the insect, take some of its body parts and put it into a little package and bring it. It's what I brought home for dinner. So there are some wasps that are apparently beneficial creatures, but usually they have a very bad rap. And I remember the first time I walked across Canada, I was in a forest in southern Ontario, and I had to deal with a call of nature. That's kind of embarrassing, but I found a real nice spot, which I thought was just perfect for the job. And before I could get down to serious business, I realized I had stepped into a wasp nest. Okay. So there were seven of them, and I know because it hurt in seven places on the backside. And it was really painful for a few days. And when they first stung, I didn't know what was behind me. I couldn't see. So I ran I moved at the speed of what I thought was a bullet. And I went back to the van where my support person was. His name was Mudhai. His guru gave him that name. And he's an interesting person too. But anyways, so Mudhai was taking a nap. And I came and I was sort of panicking, breathing heavily. And he sort of opens his eyes. Is everything okay, Maharaj? I said, yeah, everything's fine. I decided I'll just go for a little walking right now. I'll continue a little bit of walking. That wasn't part of my plan, but I don't feel like lying down at the moment. So for several days, I had a real problem lying down, sleeping at night, because it was very painful. If I would have been intelligent, and I probably should have gone to a doctor. But because the walking makes you robust, it helps you to stave off. You can take any problem. You can take on anything, even a big ape if he comes at you. So anyways, that's my story of wasps. Okay. So this big ape is compared to a wasp who is taking other insects and putting them, carrying them into the holes of some, like some holes somewhere. This ape took people, humans. And, you know, apes have powerful arms. And Prabhupada was very good at dealing with monkeys. Hut, he'd use that. And I think it was Shruti Kirti who tried to use the technique on one of those, you know, monkeys that have incredible biceps and didn't work. And he ran into the other room and closed the door on him. And Prabhupada just laughed. He said, "You have to know the technique." So they're known to have very powerful arms and they can carry people. In this case, they seal the caves. And can you imagine being shut in a cave with a boulder there so that you can't get out? This guy was a real troublemaker, as all asuras are. And it's interesting that in the dramas that Krishna lays out for everyone and all of us for our own pleasure, he does everything to the extreme. Demons are real demons. They are extreme extremities. Dvidvid is like that. It also says here in one of the shlokas, in shloka 8, that he was harassing the neighboring kingdoms and polluting women of respectable families. But he was very sensual, and he was very sensible, very perked up. So as he was moving through the forest, he heard some sweet sound, and then he spotted Balaram, who was dancing in the midst of gopis. And Balaram, who's described here as being a little bit having a good time, a little bit intoxicated, everything, but something that was a little bit on the sweet side, his eyes were rolling. And his body was, you know, that aura came out. There was effulgence. And he behaved like an elephant, you know, having a good time. So it was at this point that the ape was trying to get his attention, Balaram's attention. And he was rustling through the forest. If any of you do any walks through the forest, and I strongly advise it, it's really good. You'll always hear something rustling in the forest, something making noise, shaking the branches. It could be a small thing. I've learned after walking through lots of different forests, you get an idea of the size by the sound. You get to know, especially if you're familiar with certain forests. I don't know alligator forests too well. I guess I'll get to know them if I spend more time here. Should I? Okay, we'll try. And, you know, I've been able to listen to the rustling, said, "That's a skunk," without seeing him. Or you get to know by how the rustling, you know, how fast a creature may move. You know? And you can understand, here's a deer. You can understand also by the sound of the hooves, you know, and the sigh. When it really crackles in the forest, you know, that's a moose. That's a moose. And I've also been in a situation where I've heard bears go up the trees. There was a mother bear, and she was kind of looking at me, and I was up on a sort of like an incline of the road going up, and she was down below, and down in the ravine. She was looking up at me, kind of like a cow, like this. So it was kind of intimidating for her because I was way up, looking big and tall. And then her little cub, I couldn't see him first. I just heard him going up the tree. So when she saw me, she actually made a noise like a cow. And the little cub came down, and then they dashed off. And of course, I just went, oh. Isn't that charming? So you get to know, you know, the sounds in the forest. You get to know them. It's very interesting. I sometimes ask people, what kind of a car is that? And we're driving somewhere. Oh, that's a Camaro. Oh, what kind of car is that? Oh, that's this, that. They know all the cars. What kind of tree is that? I don't know. What kind of plant is that? I don't know. Or are we walking through the forest? What kind of bird is that that's making that sound?
I don't know.
Should we be knowing what's out there in the forest? Wouldn't it be nice to be educated? No? So anyways, let's get back to Dvijvid. We've got our mantras. He's got his. Kila Kila. All right. Sounds like something out of a Tarzan film. Anyways, he was trying to get attention. And once that was done, Balaram would notice. And then there's indications that we're going to have a little bit of fun, you and I. Okay. So we are to understand, especially from the teachings of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that each one of these demons that was sent represents some anarta, some inner demon inside. And Krishna clearly helps us to understand from the Bhagavad Gita, from his teachings, that we all have these little demons inside. There's kam, krodh, lobh, lust, anger, greed. The three gateways to where it's hot, okay? And probably very cold too. Like you folks who are southerners, of course, almost everybody here is a northerner, right? You're all northern, but you came to the south, right? Came to the south. And you become acclimatized. Right? And when you hear that, usually I get this remark, how are things in Canada? Ho, ho, ho. It's one of the first remarks. How are things in Canada? Is it cold? And then I have to be a little sassy and come back. Yeah, I'm here in Florida where it's like hell and hot and sticky. Okay, two extremes. Okay, even Stephen. Well, Krishna helps us to understand what is the mentality of a demonic person. And here we have the epitome of goodness and the epitome of evil. Dvijvid is evil and Balaram is good. He's in goodness. Although Balaram demonstrates passion, a lot of times it's a good passion. 16th chapter tells us about divine and demonic natures. For instance, if you're demonic, you're a harsh person. Sometimes, I've known devotees who can be a little harsh. I think when I joined the movement, and I was the head brahmachari on 187 Gerrard Street, Lakshmamani will know. Maybe I was a little harsh sometimes on the younger men that came around, being the head brahmachari. I was harsh. I was showing my demonic side. Do you remember those good old days? I couldn't hear you. Okay, I'm not going to repeat that on the microphone. Okay. But Lakshmamani was saying she remembers the good old days on Gerrard Street. So, asatyam aparitishtante jagad ahur inishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kim anyat kama haitukam. One of the symptoms of what is a demon is somebody who believes in no controller. No controller. Nobody's in charge. There is no God. There is no foundation in this world. There is no truth in this world. Asatyam. Of course, that's true. There isn't real truth in this world. But Prabhupada and the Acharyas will clarify that when we talk about how this world is illusory. We say it's real, but it's temporarily real. And then it dissolves to become a new reality. The elements are like that. And all the jiva souls who come and shape the elements around them in the form of a body, those jivas are permanent, but their mentalities may change. Their bodies change. So in this way, the world is very unreal, like a dream. And, the world is fairly unconscious. People are alive. They're breathing. Their hearts are ticking away. But they're not very conscious based on their, let's say, their behavior and their activities. So I don't think it was Freud who talked about conscious, unconscious, trying to be conscious. And Prabhupada always told us, first be conscious. He was implying that you're not conscious. You may be very alive with your sense gratification, but you are not really aware of things. You don't see things in proper perspective. So he said, first be conscious, and then you can become Krishna conscious. Most entities are on the platform of anamaya. That means their maya comes in the form of, I just want food. Just got to eat. That's all. And nothing should stand in the way. If something stands in the way, I'll get nasty. That's their consciousness. Eventually, we want to get out of that lower conscious state and come to the point of being Krishna conscious, to reach another dimension. Many people, of course, we're all residents, inhabitants of this Kali Yuga world, and we are not very conscious, not very cognizant of what's going on. We act impulsively based on what the senses want and the mind. So it takes some kind of training. It takes some kind of, you know, evolution that must happen in our very existence, some transformation that helps us to come to a more conscious state. And finally, the full conscious state. We want to talk about different levels of conscious states. We can talk about, in terms of God realization, Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shabjate. First state of God consciousness is to realize the all-pervasive aspect of the divine. Second one is to appreciate the localized aspect of the divine. That is, you know, Krishna, who's lying there as the Upadrashta Namantascha, is the overseer and overpermitter. He's watching, waiting for the spirit soul to surrender. He's waiting. And he's waiting a long time. We shouldn't make Krishna wait, don't you think? We shouldn't make God wait. I'm not a very patient person when it comes to waiting. And, you know, standing in lines, I don't like it. Standing in a queue, it's not my thing at all. So somehow or other, Krishna as Paramatma is waiting. That's his position. He's taking a neutral disposition. I'm waiting and I'll be very detached. But there's some point in time in which we must take to the surrendering process. And for the yogis who meditate on the Paramatma, the within, they've learned detachment. Perhaps there's also a bit of jnaniism in them. They are aware of the difference between themselves and, or at least Brahmabhut. We know that Brahmabhut means you're detached from this world. But finally, the highest conscious state is to be Krishna conscious, to exercise bhakti, devotion. It's the highest form of activity. Somehow or other, in this whole lila, Dudvid is fulfilling a role. He's doing a seva. He's coming across as a big bag, ugly monster. And in the end, Balaram looks really great, victorious. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking about that in terms of the Battle of Kurukshetra, the 18-day war. And for the war, it came out to be very fierce, furious, ugly, and so on. It only meant that the Pandavas would come out victorious in the end. And that battle was really a good drama. Because on day one, the Pandavas came out to be good. Next day, it was, you know, went to the Kaurava side. And it constantly went back and forth like this. So it was almost like they were tied. But in the end, we know who won. And we know why. Because of the surrender to Krishna. Our whole philosophy and all of our stories end up at this particular point. That you take Krishna into your life. You embrace him in every way. then you will come out victorious in the end. Oh yes, you will die. You'll get sick. Devotees are not exempt from these things. Those who are on the surrendering trail also have the same basic problems that other people have. But we have tools, we have ways in which to deal with some of the harassments. We may not be bothered as they are. Because if you ask the average person if they're on their deathbed, what would you like? And they'll probably be very open about it. They'll be very frank. Well, I was really thinking about having a nice person with me. Or I was thinking it would be very nice if I could just have a little more booze. Or to party just a little bit more. If people have their wish, how long you want to live and what you have to do with those last years or days, you'll be surprised what you'll come up with. When it comes to devotees who may be in physical agony because we're dying, and we see that is happening amongst us, then what do we look forward to? The other world, not this one. We've been here for so long. We've been an ape. We've been a wasp. What else? Last night when we got together with the kids, we wanted them all to act out their favorite animal. And it got kind of crazy. It turned into a zoo. I don't think I'll use that exercise again. But we've gone through it all. We've all been there. And the fact of the matter is we're still kids. And we're not convinced that this higher conscious state, the Krishna conscious state, is the way to go. We may be thinking, dolphin, swan. The Shastras speak very favorably about swans. What else? What's another? A cow. Yeah. Holy cow. Yeah. Bull. And Prabhupada said of all the animals, the most beautiful one is the horse. And he shocked a bit about it. I thought the cow was beautiful. And Prabhupada said, no, it's the horse. Okay, so the horse, we've been there. We've been a horse, of course. You can be a cow right now. The choice is great. It's vast. It's an ocean. And we've been swimming in that ocean many times over. We should just be convinced that this is it. One life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj talks about how, like following the footsteps of Dhruva, was a young boy who in 6 months only raised his consciousness level. How many people have been in the movement over 6 months? How many people have been in the movement over 6 years? How many people are approaching 60 years? Okay, 60 years of Krishna consciousness. Okay, well, okay. All right. These are long time. Now, anybody who's in their 60s, we have people in their 60s right here in this room. How do you view time? Did it go in a flash? Did it go like that? And when you have some reminiscences of when you were a kid, like Gopal over here, it seems so long ago in a way. And then certain experiences seem just like it happened just yesterday. Yeah. Anyways, time is an interesting factor, and it is a representation of the Lord. Somewhere or other, we have to get to the point to not have Krishna wait any longer. We should stop turning our backs to him. And to do that, it simply means some sadhana. It simply means some good Krishna conscious behavior, and the realizations will come. I mean, if you have good behavior, reciprocation will come. So that's another thing that's pointed out in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bad behavior for the asuras. Unclean. Of course, we mentioned no God, no foundation. And the only thing that seems to run the world is lust. And people who generally just look at each other as, some object of lust. It's not a good place to be in. It's not a good place. So let's make that adjustment. Let's get to the right place. And if we are 60, yay. 70, yay. 80, yay. We're getting closer and closer. Hopefully. It's just a matter of how we are adjusting ourselves. An adjustment is a great quality for a Vaishnava. One of the worst traits, I think, for anybody in this world is to just stay in a slump. Stay on one plateau and not move above, not move ahead. And in devotional service, it can be a little bit like that. If we find ourselves that we are in that position, then we pray reverently, please, Krishna, help me to get out of this slump. Please, I'm fallen. I am a big ape. Help me to get out of this state of consciousness where I'm the big controller and I can uproot trees and make a lot of noise and be a big nuisance. Help me to become an angel and stop being a devil. Please help me. So that's one way that we can actually, like apes hang onto branches, but devotees hang on to their devotees' beads. Yeah. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And they're also made of wood, by the way. And you know, just have to reach out, get your ape-like arm out there, hairy arm or not, get it, grab it, chant. And that's what we're always going for, that piece of wood. And jerk away, you jerk. this is our mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's the sound we make. We are the Hare Krishna movement. That means we're always chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada made a big point of that. But we do these, we've been doing these Kirtan standard seminars, and I've done it to a few places. And one of the things we emphasize is that Prabhupada really liked for chanting Hare Krishna to be the main thing, not this and that and so many other new additions. He just wanted us to concentrate on this Hare Krishna, three words. And again, it's another one of those very simplifying natures of Krishna consciousness. You don't have to get that complicated. You don't have to be complicated at all. You just have to be clean in heart. Because it's in the 16th chapter, again, the qualities are given there of what is a divine person. Qualities that exceed those, the list of the divine nature is much longer than the list of the demonic natures. So that's hopeful, isn't it? We should be going for the big list, not the small, puny one. Well, let's not be small timers. Let's be big timers. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay. Lakshma Moni, do you want to tell us more about your art stream? Okay. Girard Street's in Toronto, that's where I joined. And Mother Lakshmamani was Mother Superior. And I remember us eating prasadam off of wax paper on the floor. And one time there was a flower on the wax paper. And I said, I asked her, I was just like one day there. I said, do you eat the flower? And you said, very straightforwardly, well, you can if you want to. And I think I did, but you weren't looking at that time. Is that right? Yeah, it's so exotic. Yeah.
I was eating a flower.
Yeah, that's great. Everything was so exotic to me. I'd never, in those days, I never saw an eggplant before. It's an egg on a plant. And then it was cooked and prepared and it was put on the wax paper. And anything was hot, you know, it would just ruin the wax paper. So if you slid it across the room, the whole subject went right across. We were weird. I remember I was the one that was assigned as a new brahmachari to put prasadam out. And, you know, from the kitchen to the prasadam room, which was just next door, next room over. And I grabbed the ghee solids, thinking this is some exotic sabji from India. The ghee solids out on everyone's piece of wax paper, and then devotees came out. Oh, those were such good times. They were the best times. Go on and on. Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments?
Maharaj, Lakshmi Moni said she remembers Gerard Street, but she doesn't remember you ever being harsh. I just wanted to clarify that. I don't know if you heard that.
You are very harsh to say that. And that's an untruth. That's a satyam.
When we first installed Radha Gopinath, were you there?
No, I wasn't there. I hadn't yet joined.
When we first installed Radha Gopinath, we only had one set of clothes for them. And so then we started dressing them on every weekend, and in that week, we'd make another set of clothes. Mm. And so the next week, we'd have a new set of clothes. And we did that for 7 weeks. And then after 7 weeks, we started dressing them every day.
Nice. Wow, that's great. I'm happy to know that.
We made all our clothes, all the women, we made all the clothes for the deities. We never got anything made elsewhere. And it was fantastic just being together and
working. There was such a homogenous feeling, like a harmony and a strong sense of community. And I think that's why a lot of people joined, because we were very much like a family.
And 187 Gerard was right across the street from an arboretum, which was very helpful in getting flowers for the deity.
I remember the lotus flowers that devotees helped themselves to put into Radharani's hand. Hare Krishna. Chora. Radha, Kirchora, Gopinath, Chora, or Gopinath in Canada is called, he's a thief. So his devotee followers had a tendency to do that too. Are there any other comments or questions? Yes.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's not a transcendental topic, but you know, for you know, when you're in the forest like that, for your, I know around here you get stung. Wet mud is great. You know, putting on
mud.
Bee stings is like amazing.
Or to put mud on there?
Wet mud. Just put it on, leave it on for just a couple minutes.
Okay, well, next time I go to pass, remember to have some mud around. Yeah, I know mud is good. Anybody ever, you know, poison ivy out here, do you?
Yeah.
Do you? I looked around, I can't find it around here. I get poison ivy just by looking at it. But if you ever get poison ivy, I've tried everything for it. When you get the rash, just put some tealock on. Tealock. On the infected areas. No itches. No oozing. It's the only thing that works. Or imagine just ordinary mud or clay will do the same thing. They don't want you to know that. The pharmaceutical places don't want you to know that. I'm just telling you the truth. That is, works. It's the best thing. Tealock. I just put tealock on.
There's one other thing. I think they created it back in the 50s to wash off radioactivity. Trying to think of the name. Technu. It's, unless you really get it in like a cut or something, and you have to get some kind of medicine, but that. It has a little, I think, mineral spirits in it. And just a couple, three, four times wash it, it gets rid of the oils.
Is that for the poison ivy?
Yeah, poison ivy. Okay. Poison oak.
Poison oak. I'm going to stick to my tealock. Okay. But thank you very much for the tips. Any other questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, how are you?
It's explained in our sastra that actually one who performs this devotional service, chanting Hare Krishna, attains the qualities of the demigods just automatically. So where does it come in where we actually have to work at that? What's the tipping point where we just chant Hare Krishna or we have to work on it?
Well, chanting Hare Krishna is one thing, but that's a matter of application of the heart. You know, you can sort of go through the mechanics of chanting, but certainly you have to apply yourself. That's indicated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shikshastakam. Lucky for us, he left us the most, you know, important instructions and just helping us to appreciate the mood that should be established behind the chanting of the mantra. And so to feel ourselves humble, to have respect for all others, be tolerant, you know, and be patient, and those things. Trinada Bhisini China. We make that application to our chanting. We'll go places with that. We'll experience a purging, a closeness to Krishna. So that's a daily endeavor. It has to be something we must tackle every day with this ape-like mind. And just apply that verse and hold on to it, just like you would the japa beads, you know, or like you would your Brahman's thread. Hold on to it. Hold on to this particular shloka and really embrace it and take up the humility process. So it's put the heart there with the mouth. It's just not lips and tongue stuff. The heart has to be there, has to be connected. So, humble state of mind. Can we be humble? Can we go down? Can we go very low? Lakshmoni, you have to get off your chair. Okay. Good. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, this is not for you, but for everyone else here. You were talking about humility and application. So just for all the devotees here, I've seen Maharaj apply that this morning. Some years back, he mentioned it in a class, and I've seen him apply it. So just for our benefit, that when Maharaj came in this morning, he picked up everyone's shoes and packed it up on the back there. So that's one of the applications that I've seen. And I felt very embarrassed because my pair of shoes was one on the list.
You're massaging my ego, Prabhu. Don't do that. Anyways, thank you. Actually, it's a nice seva. And I like to see that she is in order. I think Prabhupada would want that. If he came to the temple, and he is here, he's coming. He's coming every day to the temple. And then if we can visualize like that, then we'll keep everything neat and tidy. I don't know how it would be possible. And I'm guilty. Like, my room will sometimes be messy. I live out of a suitcase. I have a room. I just don't even have time to tidy up. Sometimes. That's my excuse. But it's hard to get your mind clean if everything's not in order. And I think like that with the shoes. But maybe there's something mystical about the shoes being strewn all over the place. Maybe it's like tea leaves out, and you're supposed to read something out of this, you know, like, what does this mean? Hare Krishna. So thank you for, thank you for comment, but no thank you as well. Anything else?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, how are you doing?
Fine. How are you?
I'm not doing too bad. TK. Trust Krishna. TK.
When I joined, the temple was a small little house. 3-bedroom house with a hall. One room for the president, one room for the Mataji, and one room for the deity.
And you're talking about here in Alachua?
No, in Trinidad.
Oh, Trinidad. Oh, yeah.
and there was a small little room for the books. And there was no room for the men.
Okay.
So it was very interesting, and I have to mention it. I believe that we enjoyed it. I know we enjoyed it a lot. We used to sleep in the yard.
So the women stayed inside, and the men stayed outside.
Yeah.
So the women had the comfort. Well, that's a different thing from early ISKCON. I've never heard of that one before. That's a new one. Okay.
We used to sleep in the yard below the mango tree with cardboard and a sheet. And we enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And because of that, everybody was up for Mangalarati.
Chai, Haribol. It's good to remember the good old days, right? Hare Krishna. Yeah, those were the humble days. We had so much fun. Jivananchi.
Mentioned about being in a rut. Is there a difference between slow, steady course and a rut in your spiritual life?
In a rut. The word is also used here in one of the shlokas, shloka 10. Behave like an animal in rut. So your question is there a case for slowness, like slow and steady? Wins the race?
We have seen a lot of examples of devotees that really go for it,
right?
You know, and
go really fast, like
yeah, and they end up sort of hitting a wall. So a lot of devotees may be thinking, well, you know, let me just take a nice, slow, steady. I'm comfortable doing this. Don't exert too much. Don't reach out too much. Mm-hmm. Then Maya doesn't come after you.
Mm-hmm. The word that is in the Gita, shanai shanai, means slow, gradual. It means gradual. Gradual development. So that's to be sattvic, to be very thoughtful about what you do. And yeah, we've seen people who go a little bit too fast and try to be an acharya tomorrow. You know. And it doesn't really work out. So one time, I was talking in my sleep, and one of the brahmacharis told me, Bhakti Marek, you were talking in your sleep. And I thought, oh God. What was I saying? Were you talking about the tortoise and the hare? I said, really? Yeah, you're telling the whole story about the tortoise and the hare. So can you tell me the spiritual significance of it? And I didn't even know. I didn't know. You don't even remember. So in my mind, he was going. And I said, well, the hare represents mode of passion. He's going real fast, you know, moving fast. And then he takes a break and, you know, just you know, takes it easy for a while, you know. And then there's the tortoise, who represents the mode of goodness. And he's going slow but steady. So they had their race, you know. And the person who is in the mode of goodness always wins the race. Not the show model guy, you know. The ones, I'm a devotee. No. Have you ever met those kind of people? They come to the door. We're here now. Hello. Like everyone's going to, there's a nice quiet, you know, session going on. Somebody, so-and-so Maharaj is just talking at the Sunday feast and the room is packed and everyone's quiet. And somebody comes in late and says, okay, we're here now. Put your shoes here. The whole family comes in. You ever met those kind of people? Show bottle people. Okay, so anyways, that's the way I told the story of the tortoise and the hare. Do you think it works? It applies? I kind of saved my skin. that is what's wanted. And if we're going too fast, like all of us when we joined, we were pretty young. We're young whippersnappers. We're Americans, North Americans. We did everything fast. We moved fast, sometimes too fast. We hit a few brick walls. And Srila Prabhupada was there to say, slow down a little bit. You're going too fast. So Guru is there to monitor things. Shastra is there. Or sadhu, senior people are there to say, I think, you know, you just slow down a little bit. You know? I feel as Golubjimans would help out a little bit. That kind of thing. Is that okay? Sure. Anything else for us? Peter Jeans. Okay, so let's stop being apes. And let's become some kind of angel, okay? Let's get serious. And to get serious means humility. What else? What else are we supposed to apply? Humility, tolerance, get into service, patience. What else? Be a turtle. What else? 16 rounds, not a bad idea. Appreciation of each other, warm up to devotees. Serving, service. What else? Being very determined, yes. Have regulation. Compassion. Very good. Enthusiasm. What about friendliness? Yeah, I mentioned warmth. That was what I was saying. Friendliness, kind, smile. Yeah. No, it's very good. You need to be. Srila Prabhupada was like that. I think we've got a good list there to work on. Take that list, make it like a magnet, stick it to your refrigerator, where you probably spend more time than any other place in the house. And look at that. So, Bruce, thank you very much. Vanchakalputarupyascha kripa sandhubyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha jai. Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.